What's up?
What's happening?
What are your herbs?
Heck yeah.
What kind of herbs do you have?
Parsley, basil, and let me think about it. Oregano?
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
Oregano's gotta be fresh. You cannot buy store-bought oregano. It's gotta be fresh of a plant.
I would say the same thing with basil.
Same, you are goddamn right.
Mm-hmm.
You are goddamn right. Welcome to Nick and Martin's Cooking Hour with your hosts, Nick and Martin.
Well, let's welcome them to the summer habit, the summer hammock.
Man, Nick, there's so much drama in the world nowadays. You know what I mean? So much drama. Everyone's bitching and moaning about things. You know
what are you talking about?
Dude, look, not us. That's why people listen to us, because we don't bitch and moan. But let me tell you, there's so much hatred in the world today. There's one thing that will make everyone really happy. You know what that thing is?
Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka.
Oh no, that's creepy AF.
No way.
I had nightmares watching that movie. No.
That's a big old smile.
Listen, if everyone had a bidet in their bathroom, they would all have a big old smile and be happy all the damn time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't be leaving my bathroom.
Let me ask you, Nick, have you experienced the wonders of the bidet?
You know, I was in one hotel that had it, but it never was truly explained what to do. So I was just like, I don't know how this works, but I so want it to work.
Let me tell you, there's some fancy ones. You know, like if you go to Japan, they have like toilets with built-in bidets, right? You don't need to attach anything to it. You buy them that way. They're like mm-hmm. super fancy, like remote control bidets with like music playing out of them. They like put a wet towel around your neck and give you a back massage and shit. All kinds of crazy bidets.
It's like a warmed seat, warmed water automatically.
You get it. Now, us here in America, we are not very cultured, regardless of what some people may have you believe. In fact, the number one indicator that we have no culture is the fact that not many people know about the wonders of the bidet. So let me explain them to you.
Yeah.
So fill me in. This evening, I installed...
Fill my bottom up and fill my bottom in. Go
ahead. This evening, I installed a bidet in our hallway bathroom. Now,
hold on. Yes. Is your hallway bathroom the main bathroom?
Yes.
Like, at this point, you are telling any stranger in that house, like, you know what you're going to do. Get in there.
Well, number one, we don't allow strangers in this household.
But you know what I'm saying. If I came for a visit, it would be like, whoa, I guess this is what I'm doing.
Yes.
Like, hello, like, this is not in your bedroom or upstairs. This is the main bathroom.
The main bathroom.
Oh, man, you just advanced it.
Listen, my goal in life is to educate America. Okay, the reason I do Comic Talk today is because I want people to read more than just Marvel and DC. The reason I put a bidet in my bathroom is because I want all of America to use my bathroom. Well, not really. I don't want anyone to use my bathroom but my family and maybe a guest. However,
the reason that you do Nerdy Legion is because ass play needs to be discussed.
Listen.
In anything and everything.
Look, the thing is,
whether it's a grab ass, whether it's a bidet.
See, you got it. Every time we release an episode, hashtag grab ass is the number one trending hashtag worldwide.
It's true.
Okay. So now we need to start a new hashtag. Hashtag where's my bidet? Hashtag tickle my pickle. Hashtag don't need so much toilet paper.
I like all of these hashtags, and I hope you remember them all because we need to use them for the next week and a half. I like tickle my pickle especially.
Oh, episode title. Where's my bell? There it is.
How about hashtag feel the warmth? How about hashtag wet between the legs? I'll keep mine. Well, I would like a little warm A cool, how about a cool breeze between my leg, a warm liquid between my leg. That all sounds good.
Sounds great.
Yeah, sounds you're living
me,
life.
Sounds to me like you read Pestilence from Aftershock.
I haven't. Is it all about bidets? Because now I might have to.
Look, there is there's some butt sexage on this last issue.
So it's an undercurrent. Bidets are an undercurrent.
You will definitely need a bidet after reading that issue.
There's a main story arc, but just like Marvel Comics in the 70s, there's an A story through, and then there's a B story through. The bidet's the B story.
There you go.
Okay, there I'll take go. That. So edumacate me.
So I'll edumacate you. Here's how it works, Nick. You have to pull the toilet seat off, you install the bidet, you put the toilet seat back on, okay, and then you have a little tee, so you tee off the water line, go into the toilet, whatever. Very easy. It's like a 5-minute install, even if you're completely stupid. And, and on the bidet, so I didn't get a fancy bidet. This is apparently a Christmas gift to myself and my wife from from my wife's best friend. Okay. So they installed a bidet in their home and she loved the bidet and wanted to gift everyone bidets. Okay.
This sounds like a remarkable friend. this is like people that send us like Marvel codes. Like, I'm not going to use this code. Here you go, buddy. It's so good. You need to read this.
You need to read this. Exactly.
And I will gladly, you know why I'll gladly take those Marvel codes? Cause I don't have to wear a pirate eye patch. I don't. So this is great. She discovered it and she's like, you know what I like? My ass being played with. You know what you're going to like? Your ass being played
with. That's right.
Hell yeah. Kudos to her.
That's right. So she got us this for Christmas. Now, we have seen them since Christmas, but the few times that we've seen them, she forgot to give us the bidet. Okay. They come to the house like every month or every 2 months and we play like Cards Against Humanity and poker and get wasted drunk on the deck. So this time they remembered and they brought the bidet. And tonight I installed it. And Nick, it is the best thing ever. I tested it with the lid up. I tested it with the lid down. I tested it with my butt on the seat.
Yeah.
It was great. So.
Now, do you have to adjust the water pressure?
All right. So there's only two knobs on the bidet. This is not a fancy bidet. So it doesn't have like heated water. Okay.
Sure.
It's normal water, whatever temperature that is. Room temperature water.
Yeah.
Okay. But, no pun intended, but, there's two knobs. So one is for the self-cleaning. Okay. So you can do a self-cleaning on the nozzle. And
so by knobs, are these like faucet knobs?
No, they're like turning
like
knobs.
Like you go wash your hand type knobs.
Like you're doing laundry knobs.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Those kind of knobs. So the bottom one has two positions, on and off. Okay, so when you have it on, it does the self-cleaning. When you have it off, it's for party time.
Self-cleaning?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got to clean the nozzle.
God, you're so selling me. Okay.
All right. The top knob has your actual bidet setting. So you have off, you have a low setting, a slightly higher setting, a medium setting, a here we go setting, and a rock and roll setting.
Any of them pulsate like a shower massager?
No, it's a stream.
Okay.
It's a stream. Like I said, this is not a fancy bidet. Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, you can get some fancy ones. Like if you want to spend a few $100, you can get like the pulsating, the warm water, like whatever. Okay. Mm. Color lights on them.
Ooh.
Yeah. The kids love the RGB lights. You know what I mean?
I love that.
So that's it. So you just pick, well, I mean, you have to know what setting you want. So as soon as you get to that setting, it starts squirting the water. And when you're done, you just turn it back to off.
How do you know when you're done?
I mean, you just assume. You don't need like a whole lot, right? Like unless you have like doo-doo butter stuck on your rear end, then you just need like, you know, a second squirt. Like, psst. Because really you just want to get like the crud. You know what I mean? You want to get the crud, and this eliminates the need for like wet wipes, for example, which we keep in all the bathrooms because we believe in having hygienic bucket holes. But, you know, with a bidet, you don't need that. So you do a little squirt, and then you just need, like, a couple things of toilet paper. You don't need a whole bunch, because your bum's wet. So it's very easy to wipe away.
So you ain't sitting there. You ain't sitting there letting it stream while you're reading that comic. I mean, it's just a squirt.
You could if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure some people do.
Okay. All right.
Like people that, you know, people that read comics on their iPads that have a Cammy from Street Fighter wallpapers on their iPad, you know, those kind of people. They would just leave it on.
So how close is that nozzle to your bottom butthole testicles? Where is it falling?
Oh, so it's like on the right hand side of the seat, probably like, I don't know, 4 inches away, 5 inches away.
Is it like where the toilet seat actually is, just under, and then it's angled?
Yeah, so the way that you install it is you have to take the toilet seat off, which varies on the toilet seat. On mine, it just has the two little clamps right on the top. You twist them a little bit to the left to unlock them. You pop them out, and then the toilet seat comes up. And then underneath, there's screws that screw to the bottom of the toilet. So there's a nut underneath and a screw on top. You'll take that off. Then you put the bidet on, and it comes with two big washers with slots in the middle in case, you know, your toilet has different width holes for your toilet seat. And then you just put the bolts back in, bolt it down, put the seat back on, lock it back in place, and you're done. So it does elevate the back of the seat just a smidge in order to give you that perfect angle.
Nice.
Into your bum. And I gotta say, I'm very impressed with the mathematics of this. There was some serious geometrical work done to figure out the exact angle, distance, pressure to shoot out water into someone's rectum. I'm very impressed. I gotta say, it hits the spot every single time. Unless you're one of these weirdos that like, you know, poop sideways or whatever. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe if you had like a squatty potty, it wouldn't work quite the same. I don't know. I haven't tried it. I don't have a squatty potty.
Yeah, same here.
I do need one though. My toilet seat's kind of high. You know what they say? You want to have some bend at the knees in order to release pressure properly.
Yeah, I have heard that.
So anyways, that is my story of the bidet, the second greatest invention of humankind behind comic books.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I'm thoroughly jealous.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out the damn thing.
Oh, it's
because I always thought it was like just a stream of water.
Ah.
And then I'm like, well, how does it not get all over my shirt that's dangling, like, where my privates are? I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, like I said, geometrical perfection. It shoots directly into – it's almost like it has a laser and it pinpoints the exact dark spot at the center of your butthole and sprays only in that spot.
It sees your brown eye winking, and it's like, I'm gonna wink back.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. Actually, let me rephrase that. It shoots it slightly below the bum hole.
So it gets right in the middle.
Yeah. In the gooch, as they say. Like, well, right above the gooch. Right above the gooch.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
I like that.
I love it.
That sounds really nice.
I already used it like 4 times. Didn't even have to poop.
Yeah, I bet you did. Now, are you gonna, okay, now I have to ask. Are you going to be one of those guys that I know people that don't have bidets and they've already been converted over, but I'm guessing with a bidet, are you going to be one of those guys that are going to start peeing sitting down?
No, but I will be one of those guys that if he goes to somebody else's house and they don't have a bidet, I'm going to hold my pinky up and say, and walk away.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm. There's one feature missing from this bidet that I wish it had.
Okay, hold on. Let me get... Oh, I want to guess at this one. A separate line that would shoot something that smells nice. Or Ooh. Like baby powder.
Oh, wait. You know what? If they had a... What's that called? Poopery? You know what I'm talking about? The poopery?
Yes. Yeah.
If the bidet had like a poopery thing, a sensor where when you sat down, it sprayed poopery... That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to rephrase my thing. That would be my number one request.
I'll take the baby powder because I'd like a little squirt of baby powder. But it has to be, me manning it because I don't need it all the time. But every once in a while,
sure.
It'd be nice to get a little like you said with the water. It's like perfect science shot up there, not going all over. Just a perfect little shot right in the taint area,
right there.
Yeah.
I like that. We should create that.
Oh my god. I bet you anything Japan already has it.
Of course they do. They have so much culture over there. God damn it.
Dang it. We need to get over there.
What I want is a Alexa powered bidet, Nick. You know what I mean? Cause like, if I'm pooping, I don't want to be like, pushing buttons or turning knobs and crap.
Yeah.
I just want to say, Alexa! shower me with your goodness, and boom!
You want it voice activated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Siri, I feel like a level 4 today. Squirt, squirt, you're done.
Well, you know,
that was a little intense. Thank you, Siri. No problem, Martin.
yep. So, yeah, I mean, they have Alexa-powered showers. I don't know if you've heard of these.
No.
Yes. They were at, not E3. What's the electronics show?
CES?
CES. They had Alexa-powered showers at CES.
Jiminy.
Which, you know, they were tied to an app, right? So you can, like, do your settings. And, you know, I don't know if you've tried this on your Alexa yet, but Alexa has a new feature where she can tell who she's talking to. Yeah, you can train your voice in your Alexa so she knows who's talking, which is perfect for my wife and I and the kids because we have multiple accounts at Amazon. And so if I ask a question, it knows to look like in my calendar, for example, and not in my wife's calendar. You see what I mean? Or like if I want to call somebody, it's going to look at my phone book and not at my wife's phone book. Things like that.
That's like the cars that have positional steering wheels that you hit position 3 and it knows that this is Martin's position.
Yep, exactly. So so it's tied to an app, so you can be like, Alexa, turn on the shower for me. And it knows, like, I like my showers at like 85 degrees, you know, and yeah, I like the shower head pulsating, you know, with some dubstep playing in the back, and boom, like it does it for me.
I like that.
Yeah, so I wouldn't mind one of these Alexa-powered showers along with my Alexa-powered bidet.
You know also what would be good with that Alexa-powered bidet?
Ooh, what?
If it was playing a little Crystal Gale.
Oh.
You know what song I'm going with? Don't you make my brown eyes blue.
Oh man, we should do karaoke at the next C2E2.
Oh, I'm down for that.
I've
only done it twice. No, 3 times, and 2 times I wasn't even drunk.
There was a period of time after I divorced, well, after I separated from my first wife, there was a period of we'll just say maybe 2 years where we went karaoke pretty much every single week.
The karaoke years, as we like to call them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was great.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
It was great.
Tons of fun.
But yeah. And I think C2E2 does a karaoke night on Thursday night. If I'm not mistaken.
They sure do.
Yeah. So it's perfect.
That's why I hate to say it. Like, I know a lot of new people are coming into town, which is fantastic for C2E2. I'm thoroughly excited. But I gotta say, the beginning of C2E2, much better than the end of C2E2. Like Thursday, Friday, fantastic. Saturday, way too busy. Sunday, everybody's grouchy and in a bad mood. Like, I would almost recommend people to be like, yeah, we're heading out Sunday. Like, you don't need to stay. Well, you just don't need to stay.
By people, you mean other people. Cause I'm pretty sure that we were in a fan-fucking-tastic mood the whole weekend.
Yes, other people, of course.
Yeah, fuck those other people.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is they don't hang out with the Nerd Legion. That's why.
Right. Dealers and a lot of the talent. You could tell it was 2 nights of way too much drinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, what we should do, since the Taylor Network is going to be there also, we should have a joint Nerdy Legion Taylor Network after party and just invite cool people.
Wow. Well, then you're talking who's cool and who isn't.
I mean,
you're making that list.
Whoever we say is cool is cool.
Well, let me know where it's at, and I'll try to find one of these tickets from one of these cool kids that aren't going, and I'll make sure I'm there.
Oh, you're going to be there, buddy.
I'm not part of the cool kids, buddy.
We're wearing rainbow unicorn headbands this year.
Oh, heck yeah. That sounds fun. Sign me up.
Oh man, yeah, it'll be great.
Heck yeah.
But then
what else you got there, kiddo?
Oh, Nick, I have
Being
so
that
much
this is the beginning. I have 2 things, and I'll tell you one right now.
Tell me one right now.
The beginning, this is the beginning of July, and I'm dying to hear we're 2 days away from the wedding.
What
and
wedding?
I'm dying
getting married?
To hear oh stop and I'm dying to hear your prediction. Were you already ruined with it? Did you already accidentally get it spoiled?
No, I did not. So okay, let me tell this story real quick.
All right. I want you to tell this story, but I also want you to think about where you think this might go. What's your prediction? I just want your quick thoughts. That's all.
All
right. Since it is going to happen, and by the time this episode comes out, unless you put it out today or tomorrow, it'll come out after everyone has already read that comic.
Correct.
So it might be interesting to be like, ooh, he was close, or oh my God, he was way off. But I sort of liked where he was going with that.
Yes. So, what day was this? This would have been yesterday, I think, as of the time of this recording. No, yesterday or Sunday. Sunday?
I was going to say, I thought New York Times released their review Friday or Saturday.
Okay, so it was Friday or Saturday. So mm-hmm. I'm hanging out. I'm at work. I go and check on Twitter, and I see somebody that I follow say, oh, no, Batman. And immediately I said to myself, oh, fuck no. Somebody spoiled the shit out of this book. I got to quit. So what I did is I immediately went to my settings. I muted Batman, Catwoman, Batman 50, Wedding, Joker, like everybody in the Bat family. What else did I mute? I don't know. I had like 30 different keywords that I muted, and I immediately tweeted out, somebody just pulled the shit out of Batman. Apparently that is the case. So I don't know what the deal is, because I'm not seeing any of those tweets.
Did you immediately say, hey, fuckers, don't ruin this for me?
No, I think people that follow me, already know that I don't like to be spoiled with shit.
Yeah, no doubt.
So like I think even new people, like I've gotten a lot of new followers recently, and mm-hmm. even those people are very much aware that good. I don't like to be spoiled. Because like even when I get preview copies of books, I usually don't read them until like the day they come out.
Yeah.
Right? So so immediately I knew somebody had spoiled it. I have heard that yes, the New York Times spoiled it. That's all I know. With that said, I've already said what I think is going to happen in this book. I think I talked about it with either Ronnie or with Aaron a couple weeks ago on my other show. I know we've talked about it on our private Discord chat a little bit. I don't think they're getting married. There's not a wedding. There's a couple reasons for that. There's hints in the book. And of course I'm behind on the book, so I don't know if these hints are like good or not, but I have had people send me tweets as they're reading the issues when they come out, or send me DMs and talk to me about these things where they're like, oh, here's this panel. Like Ronnie, for example, he did that last week, right? I think or 2 weeks ago when he read Batman 49, which I have not read yet. And, he's like, look at this panel. It's like, this wedding's not going to happen. And of course, the whole time I'm like, yeah, the wedding's not going to happen. We already know that. That's why I keep joking on Twitter, like, here's like the 5 times Batman got married, you know, like he's already been married to Catwoman 4 times. Like here's an awesome Batman Catwoman wedding, which I talked about, what was that, last week, I think? When I read Brave and the Bold 197.
Uh-huh.
From 1983. So, I mean, that's not like a new thing, you know what I mean?
No.
But, yeah, I don't think they're getting married. I think it's going to be a long drawn out thing. I know Jay and Aaron were just talking in their chat about they weren't aware that the Tom King's run is all about the Batman Catwoman relationship and that he wants to do 100 issues. I remember him saying that pretty early on in the run, that this was going to be pretty much his entire run will be kind of a run through of their relationship of what it means and doesn't mean. But maybe I misread that. I don't know. But yeah. I thought that was always the case. So I don't think they're getting married. Another hint for me that they're not getting married was last week or 2 weeks ago when Colossus and Kitty Pryde were supposed to get married and didn't. And mm-hmm. instead Rogue and Gambit got married. Like I was pretty happy about that because Rogue and Gambit have been a thing for how long now? Like 30 years, 40 years?
Yeah, quite a long time.
So about goddamn time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that makes more sense for them to get married than for like Batman and Selina to get married. Like I can't work that out in my head. Right. and obviously Tom King is a great writer because everyone loves him. But you know, I just don't see somebody making that relationship make sense. In particular when DC has been saying for years, they don't like people being married because it ruins the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's kind of what they're doing with Clark and Lois and Man of Steel too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this, yeah. I mean, it's not a new thing, and I'm sure people are fucking going bananas about it. I don't know. I'll find out Wednesday when I unmute all the keywords. You know what I mean? Like, the only way I'm going to get any spoilers is if somebody, like, replies to my tweet or directly tweets me. That's the way that I'll see the spoiler. But if somebody else is talking about it, I'm not going to see it, so I don't care.
You know what whether this happens or not, you know what's on everyone's radar?
What's that?
This. So it doesn't even matter if it goes off or goes on. Like, how much bat talk has been going on for how many months?
Oh, God, yeah.
At the end of the day, they won, you know?
Yep, that's true. Well, and, you know
other stuff has been happening, but, like, even the X-Men wedding, like, that's sort of a drop in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison.
It's true.
Yeah, so they won.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
They did win, though, because my Walmart today shut down because they didn't have enough copies of the 100-page Giants, and there was a mob outside that murdered the whole staff, and so they closed the store down.
What?
No, that's not really actually what happened. What happened was they lost power, and so they had to close it down.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
But I think it's a much better story to say that a wild mob of comic book fans stormed the local Walmart and shut it down because they didn't have enough 100-page Giants.
I'll be storming my Walmart tomorrow.
But think about it. In the way that our culture is now, it's almost more believable to say that than to say that they just lost power.
I could see that if you said that Walmart was getting rid of guns, so they had a bargain basement price on all guns. And I could see a trampling event happening at a Walmart for cheap auto rifles. That I could see.
Oh,
and it happened right outside of Muskogee, Oklahoma. Hello.
Yep.
But back to the 100-page giant. Yeah. I was listening to you, my brother, on CTTT. And
by the way, since you mentioned that, my guest this week and I will be talking more about Batman 50 and mostly about spoiler culture. So if that interests you, then go check that show out.
I might have to check that one out.
And I'm not telling anyone who it is, but I'll tell you later.
Brother. All right, that's my man. Put it in the vault.
So, yes, 100-page Giants. I said...
100-page Giant. You're not on board with these.
For good reason, I think, but I know where you're going. Continue.
For many reasons, which is fine.
Yes.
But also, I don't believe you mentioned that there's no way these aren't going to be traded, the original material.
I think I did say that when I first talked about it.
Okay. And also, these 100-page giants aren't for you, son.
I know. But that's why I wanted to say it the way that I said it.
But
you know?
We both talked about 100-page giants 2 weeks before they were announced and put out.
Yes.
And my whole thing, everything about 100-page giants, I thoroughly welcome any reprinted material. I can't believe they're $4.99. That's bargain basement price.
In newsprint, by the way, which I bet looks awesome.
Even better. It's fantastic. But I just remember buying that type of stuff, knowing that there's reprints in it that maybe I've never read, or if I have read, I haven't read in years. Granted, it's not all new, but who the hell cares? Like, who the hell cares? Like, $5... If I'm a parent and I'm walking by and like Junior liked, you know, a Marvel or DC movie, I'd be like, I'm going to buy that for him. Like $5 is a hell of a lot cheaper than buying him an action figure or any other, like if you want to promote comic book type stuff to your kid, that's the cheapest way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going to buy even a pack of cards, I think at this point are what, $3.99?
Yeah.
Like, you can get 100-page giant, and you just know Junior hasn't probably read any of that stuff.
Sure.
It isn't made for us.
Sure.
I'm excited because I'm not a completist like you are, so there's probably stuff I haven't read in 10, 15 years, or I never have read, period. So I'm very excited for it.
Here's the thing, Nick. KYA, know your audience, okay? And people that listen to Comic Talk today are not average comic fans for the most part. Okay, I do have some listeners that are average comic fans, but the majority of the people that listen to the show are, I don't want to say hardcore about comics, but they really love comics. You know what I mean? And just like the 100 Page Giant is not for me because it's mostly reprinted material, it's not for the majority of my audience either. Now, I mean, like on this podcast, we have people that don't read comics,
mm-hmm.
right? So we can do a slightly different angle. And I think when I did my listener question episode, I brought up the point that you made to me, that you started to make, which you didn't quite make. And I didn't want to go in depth about it because I knew that we're going to talk about it when we recorded. But I acknowledge the point and I understand exactly what you mean. Right. And this is something that I want to talk about if it's okay with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to do a solo rant on my other show, but I was like, you know what? I think Nick might enjoy talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree that this is not for us. This is for the average Joe Blow or somebody that doesn't read comics or wants to get into comics or just started reading comics, like those kind of people, right? That's why you have reprints of old material. Why they chose to do old material from a previous quote unquote timeline is I don't quite understand, right? Because a lot of this stuff has changed.
I will say it's very odd the era that they're choosing to grab from, unless they think if they put in 90s, 80s, 70s material that it will look so outdated to that audience that they would be like, nope. So let's stick in the 2000s.
So I think part of the problem was they needed to find a happy medium, right? Because if they're tailoring this to newer readers, the obvious choice would be for you to reprint like Batman Rebirth number one, Rebirth number one, you know, Green Lantern's Rebirth number one, or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm,
But the direction of DC now is not about big events, right? Like there's some big stories, but they take their time with it, right? It literally is a whole new direction for them. When New 52 was a thing, I don't think it was quite that way, right? Cause we saw a lot more big events. We saw a lot more crossovers between characters. And of course you want to have like big iconic stories. So I understand why you're doing this, right? Like in the Batman 100 Page Giant, they have Batman 608, which is the first issue of Hush. I mean, that's an obvious choice to put in there, right? Jim Lee's art is fantastic in there. The story is really great. That story ran for, I don't even know how long, a year, year and a half. So there's a lot of material. And so people can become interested in that story and say, okay, I'm going to go pick up Hush. Okay. And they don't need to go to a comic shop to pick it up. They can go to like Barnes & Noble or go to Amazon or whatever and get the trade for Hush. But the hope is that these people will read these stories and be like, okay, I like this. Let me go to the comic shop. Right, because they have an ad for the comic shop locator in the 100 Page Giant. I'm sure there's other ads that kind of guide people towards comic book related stuff, right? Like I don't know if there's maybe a DCBS ad in there. Okay, like that would make sense. But I think it's a happy medium, right? Because if they had newer stories, then maybe the shops would be like, well, why are you putting new stories in here? Like they can just come get those here, right? Or if they put really old ones, you're right. Like they might be like, okay, this is dated. I don't want to read this. Right? Or like, you know, pre-crisis stuff, there might be like, you know, fantastic story, but they go pick up the book and they're disappointed because it's pre-crisis. So everything's changed. Right? So I think I understand why they went New 52. Right? I think with New 52, they also tried to, make the characters a little more widely appealing. Right? So I get that. I get that. But, you know, they throw the 12-page new story in there for us old fogies that love comics. Right. And regardless of what I said in that episode, I'm still going to be buying all of these because I want to read that story. Now, I don't know if I'm going to continue beyond a couple of issues. And that's kind of my dilemma, right? Cause I want these, but I don't want to spend $20 a month on stuff I've already read. In particular, because the new ongoing stories don't start till issue 3, right? So Tom King is doing his Superman story starting with issue 3. So I have 12 issues, so I guess 3 to 15. And then Bendis is doing the 12-issue Batman story in the Batman 100-page giant. So, I mean, I'm interested more in those. So, you know, maybe I can just wait till issue 3, but I don't want to miss 1 and 2, because who does that? It's insanity.
To that point, the things that really roast my chestnuts are Uber, and I'm not an Uber collector by no means. The mindset of an Uber collector that they have to go and search this comic book out at Walmart, and they're bitching and moaning when they're not finding a pristine copy. It's at Walmart. You think they're handling anything with any sense of pristine? No. And then on the other side, you see idiots that are selling it on eBay because maybe they did find something, a copy that's pristine. But, like, does your mindset have to be, I am a completionist, I need it all, and I need it all beautiful? Because I just cannot believe that there's a secondary market for these.
Well, apparently there is, because Mike was looking through eBay, and he found some auctions at like $130 for all four, and there were sold auctions. And I think since then, well, because people want it now, right? And like some Walmarts don't even have them yet. I think the price on eBay now is at like roughly $22 or $23 a book.
Shimmy Christmas.
Which I don't get it. I don't get it. I would never do that. Never do
that. To your point, I would just be looking, if I was a collector, I would be looking at that book and just justifying it in my head if I'm not going to get it. Like, it's pretty much, you know, it's pretty much reprints. And the new stuff, guess what? I can get a trade of it. Like, you don't need to have, like, I would never go to a secondary market for these things. And dude, but then again, guess what? Old reprints of Marvel Tales, you know, some of them are bringing, you know, some of the X-Men reprints. You know, people want stuff like that, especially if there's new covers. Mm-hmm. I just don't have that mindset.
And here's the thing.
Boggling.
So you live in Chicago. Well, I mean, you're outside of Chicago. Like how close is the nearest Walmart to you? Do you even have a near Walmart to you?
Yeah, for sure. It's walking distance.
Okay, walking distance. And I think for the majority of the country, that will be the case, right? So unless you're in like New York or LA, or, you know,
major metropolitan.
Like that. Yeah. Where it's not economically feasible for Walmart to have a store in that area. The closest place to you will be a comic shop, right? So maybe if that's the kind of person that you are, maybe it makes sense for you to go on eBay and spend, you know, 20x value on this book. And really probably more than that, right? Like probably like 40x, because these will never be collectibles and they'll never be worth any money. So you're paying 40x the price of the book. Just so you don't have to drive 30 minutes to a Walmart. Like, I'm pretty sure you can go anywhere in the United States and within 30 minutes to an hour, you're at a Walmart. Like, tops 30 minutes to an hour.
I would think, or I hate to say it, like somebody who lives in the city, you have to know somebody who could easily pick that up for you in your network of friends.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the South.
Like Gundy lives in the city of Chicago.
Right.
If he was at all interested in that and he was just like, dude, I'd never go out to the suburbs. Is there any way? I'd be like, for sure. Now, I would have to gauge his expectation of like, you realize I'm not going to drive all around getting you 9.8 versions of these, right? and if he was just like, no, as long as it's above a shitter read, I'm good. I'd be like, yeah, I'll pick those up. I'll send them right out to you. Like, you have to know somebody that can do that for you. But what's crazy is to hear like a lot of comic book stores squawking that they don't get these, that just flips my wig.
Sure.
That is, and I hate to say it, at this point, they're lucky that there aren't advertisements in there for DC Unlimited. Like, hey, we're going to have all of these reprints right in our DC Unlimited.
Yeah.
Come on over. In the first 3 months, we're going to have all of this stuff in there.
That's not the case, but I'm going to get back to DC Unlimited in a few minutes.
Sure.
The reaction from some of these shops is ridiculous because, as I said on my other podcast, they already have the exclusive for all these comics, like hundreds and thousands of comics. And you're complaining about one book that has reprinted material in it? Like, come on, shut the fuck up.
The amount of grocery stores, drug stores, gas stations that have comics nowadays compared to, you know, two decades ago. Oh my God, you have the lion's share of comic books. And I hate to say it, you're lucky that Amazon doesn't swing in and like, yeah, we'll be doing the same thing as DCBS. What do you need?
Oh God, please do that.
We'll send you out floppies. No worries. Like,
yeah, I want that. I want to try
all these freaking mortar stores bitching about this, and I hate to say it. Luckily, these are reprints are so new what's to stop somebody from reading Hush and being like, let me pull up my smartphone. Closest comic book store. Oh, 4 miles away, 10 miles away. Let me go up and see if they have that.
Mm-hmm.
And that person probably isn't walking out of the comic book store, even if Hush wasn't there. They'll probably find something. If the comic book store is at all decent, that person behind the counter can be like, yeah, we don't have Hush, but have you ever read this, this, or this? Like, knowing this is the audience, obviously he just read this 100-page giant, I can sell him on something else.
Dude, what comic shop worth staying open does not have a copy of Hush on the shelf?
I would agree, but I'm just saying, what if they don't?
Okay.
But what comic book shop would try to sell you another thing is my point. Like, you can't be bitching about a $5 comic book if somebody comes into your shop and spends $25 on the Hush trade. Like, don't you want that money? That money sounds better to me.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, it's like, wait, we don't get that other number one because we know how those number one issues sell. Well, we want that too. Like, you don't need that. Come on.
Well, Nick, here's what I posit to you.
Uh-oh.
What I posit to you, and I know I'm going to get some hate mail. Send your hate mail to @WhosPaul. I posit to you that DC is a smarter media company than Marvel is. And let me tell you why I think this. Marvel is very much appealing to comic fans, right? They're bringing in new talent. They're relaunching books that are beloved by people. Maybe the runs that end up happening aren't beloved, but they, you know, resurrect beloved characters, beloved storylines, beloved books. They bring in hot talent like Donny Cates, for example. You know, Jason Aaron's been there forever. They're keeping him there because I'm sure they don't want another Bendis on their hands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They have Marvel Unlimited, which who does that appeal to? Is comic fans, right? If you're reading a bunch of comics, it makes perfect sense to spend $6.99 a month and get unlimited comics. That's what I want. So let's talk about DC Unlimited, because that's not the case. And the reason I think it's not the case is because DC is a smart company. And they already know that comic fans are already buying their books. What DC needs is for non-comic fans to buy their books. That's why, and it's not because DC's in trouble, the market share for Marvel and DC are the same, roughly the same. DC knows that in order to succeed, they need to bring in new comic book readers. That's the only way for them to succeed, right? The movies haven't done very well, even though I think the movies appeal more to comic fans than non-comic fans, unlike the Marvel movies, which have a wider appeal. However, the Marvel movies do not translate into comic sales. They don't. The only time it's translated to comic sales is with Black Panther. And that was even before the movie, right? When they put Coates on there, like he automatically, his following from his novel writing days, went and started picking up Black Panther because he was writing it.
Yeah.
Okay? Like if you go to a bookstore, I guarantee you there will be a copy of Black Panther in that bookstore. Guaranteed.
Sure. Just like when Stephen King was adapting his novels.
Absolutely. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed. Yeah. So Marvel doesn't need to do these things, right? Because they're making money off the non-comic fans on the movies. They're making money off the comic fans on the comics and the Unlimited service. DC doesn't really have that, right? The bread and butter for DC is the comics because the movies do okay. But we both know that they've received a lot of flack about the way that the movies were handled. I personally love the movies, so I don't give two shits if somebody hates them. Okay, but I'm a comic fan. Okay, from my non-comic friends, they were not as thrilled with those movies as I was. And I understand why. Okay, and so DC needs to try different things. So that's why they have the Barnes & Noble deal. That's why they're, if you look at the list of books that GameSpot has, a lot of them, most of them are DC books. That's why you have this Walmart thing going on. Yes.
When does the GameStop start selling comics?
I think it started this week, next week.
Okay.
The 15th.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Good to know.
They have, the Unlimited service. So the Unlimited service, we were all very excited, right? Because you have all these new shows they're going to do. They're going to have the old material, right? They've announced some of that stuff kind of offhanded, right? If you watch the trailer, you kind of see the stuff that's on there, right? Like mm-hmm. There's old comic book movies, old comic TV shows, you know, no CW stuff from what I saw. But, you know, a lot of the old animated series, for example, all that stuff. And I mean, as a DC fan, I already have a lot of that stuff.
Right.
But not everybody does, and there's stuff that I don't have, so I want to get it. The thing that I really wanted was a Marvel Unlimited type service. And judging by the trailer, and again, there's no announcement on this, but the way that the trailer portrayed it is a curated list of comics. And let me tell you, Nick, a curated list of comics does not appeal to a hardcore comic book fan. Hardcore comic book fans want all the comics. And it seems like what they're doing is the thing that I hope they would not be doing, the thing that they've done in their current DC All Access app, is that every once in a while, here's some comics that you can read. Like, you earn points by doing your polls and answering questions or asking questions or liking videos, and then you can redeem those points to get, like, a comic phone wallpaper or, like, a copy of some three-month-old comic or whatever. And whatever. It looks like they're expanding some of that, right? So you'll be able to have full access to these books. But it's going to be a very small list of books, and that's not what I want. But it will appeal to non-comic fans who I'm sure there's many kids that are going to love this streaming service, many parents that will be happy to get the streaming service for their kids because they can watch, like, Teen Titan Go 24/7. You know what I mean?
Now, do you see this curated comic books? Do you see this as a rental system?
Oh,
or
God,
you own this and you can take this with? The reason I'm asking is I'm picturing it like, here's the 25 books for July. And then August rolls around. Oh, here's the brand new 20 books for August.
Yeah, that's the way it seems.
And 20 books for July goes away.
Yeah, that's the way it looks like.
Like, you don't have access to those anymore.
Yep.
Hence the rental system,
yeah,
the library system.
That's the way it looks. And I don't like that at all.
Because that's how the Switch is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Nintendo service, that's what they're doing. They put up games and you can play them for the month and then they go away. You can buy them. Once you play them for a month, you can buy them at a reduced price, but they're not free anymore.
See, you're going towards my point, Nick, because who is the Switch targeted to? It's not for hardcore gamers.
No.
Right? Hardcore gamers build their own PCs like a decent human being should. And then the wannabe hardcore gamers buy PlayStation 4s or Xbox Ones.
Because,
you know, they don't have the required skills to properly build their own gaming PC.
Hey, Frank Miller. Oh, my God. But no, I totally see where you're going. This is for young adults to read and get them involved. And guess what? If there's a Starfire miniseries, they might put the first one. They might curate that one out so young adults might be reading that and go out and buy that comic book.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
going to curate the first issue of Hush.
Sure.
They might just do that. They might, like, all those evergreen titles. Well, how many people have read all those evergreen titles? Probably not as many as they want. So let's offer the first issue for free.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is even worse than when we were talking about Unlimited. This is even worse than what I was really optimistically hoping for.
I'm sorry to ruin your day, Nick.
Oh, you don't ruin my day. I just don't need the streaming media at this point. I want the comic books at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how they would get my money day one, is the comic book aspect. Not in hopes of, oh, they're going to have this. They're going to have Teen Titans, you know, live series. Well, when's that coming out? I want to see the Swamp Thing live series, but when's that coming out? Like, at that point, it's almost like Netflix. I'll wait till everything is there, and then I'll be like, all right, I'll subscribe and I'll talk to you guys. So you'll let me know, oh, yeah, it's worth the monthly subscription, or just get it for 3 months. You could watch all the new content for the first seasons and then you can bail.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. Like, Teen Titans Go is a perfect example. That is like Pixar for most kids. They just want to rewatch.
Sure. And that's fine. But I don't want to do that. Even though I will be going to the movies to see Teen Titans Go, the movie, when it comes out this summer.
Oh, boy.
No, you're not going to do that? I am. I'm taking my kids. They love that show.
I'll go see the Spider-Man one.
That looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, so you see my point, right? Like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
And so as a result, like, my price on how much I'm willing to pay for this thing has gone down dramatically. And I think, like, if you look at the economics of it, the price that people are willing to pay should go down also. You know, if you don't have all this comic stuff, which I think is what comic fans were excited about, then I no longer want to spend 10 or 15 bucks a month on it. I'll spend maybe $4.99, $5.99 on it. You know, the value for me is in the comics, not the shows.
Can you see them expanding into that comic book area if they're not getting enough subscribers? If they realize, well, the majority of our current, you know, Uber fans, what they want is digital comics, just like, because I'm sure they're going to send out surveys, and I'm sure the bulk of them will be like, I want Marvel Unlimited for comics, for DC.
Yep.
I'm sure they already know that song that everyone's singing.
Yeah, they're going to have to do that. Because, and not only that, all these new shows that they're doing are not out till next year.
Right.
The only one that's coming out this year is Teen Titans.
Mm.
And that's not going to be ready for launch.
Yeah, so what do they have at launch? Other than, you could go back and watch XYZ season of this title.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they have.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's not as interesting to me. But I'm sure it will still appeal to a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Just,
yeah, it's exciting.
Right now, maybe not for me. But we'll see once they have a full announcement. Once I know exactly what they're doing in the comics, then I may change my mind. But based on what I've seen just on the trailer alone, not for me.
Will they be streaming 4K?
I don't know if they said that.
Yeah, see, that at least would be like, you know, Netflix is the only one that does that at this point, and you have to pay extra for that. Mm-hmm, so at least you could be talking to that core audience.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I'm still on the list. I'm still going to get the service.
Of course you are. You're third on the list. We've talked about this.
Yeah, third on the list. I still want to try it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I still believe in giving – I believe in giving everything at least one chance.
You believe in giving DC Comics your money. You believe in it.
All my money.
Right. So why won't they take that?
If they put out 300 Batman books, I would buy all 300 of them, even if Tom King wrote them.
Especially if Tom King wrote them.
Well.
Yeah. Right.
Well.
Right.
So yeah. So I'm still, when it comes out, I'm still going to try it. I guess it's coming out in August is what they're saying.
Mm.
So that's pretty close.
And don't you think it's weird that they wouldn't do it around like San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would think the official announcement will happen then.
But still, you know how many people go into like E3 and they're like, look at this awesome video game. Oh, and by the way, it's available tonight.
Oh, you know? Yeah, I love that.
Like, you get a lot of hoopla over that.
I love that. Apple's always been really good with that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, here's the brand new iPhone. It wipes your butt for you, and it's available today.
Or pre-orders start Friday.
Sure, right.
Bethesda's really good with, it's available tonight after the show.
Oh, dude, Bethesda's the best, because they'll talk about a video game, and they're like, yeah, it won't be out till 2020, but we're going to have a demo at E3. And then you go to E3, you watch the conference, and I was like, okay, like, this looks cool. Available right now. And everyone's like, fuck, we're done with this conference. Let's go buy it.
That's why they always, at this point, they've learned and said, after the show.
Yeah.
Cause I'm sure it happened exactly the way you, like, our viewing audience just spiked low, but the downloads spiked high.
Yep. So we'll see. We'll see. But I mean, like, based on what we just talked about, what is your new price on what you pay for this?
With the curated comics and all that?
Yep.
Have they announced any original Talking Heads type shows?
Not that I'm aware of.
We were speculating?
Nope, not that I'm aware of.
No DC cooking show?
Not that I'm aware of.
Like, Well then my price point would fall extra dramatic, and it would be about $2.99,
$3.99. Ooh, yikes, even less than me.
Yeah, it would be the price of one single issue. And depending on the curated, if the curated is that month's comics, like 10 of them, you might have me, DC, because I do want to read. I want to stay current. Who doesn't want to stay current?
Sure.
Seriously. So if I could get 10 comics from this month, and I have 1 month to read them, and then they go bye-bye, who cares? Guess what? I would probably, you could jack me up to $9.99.
Dude, I like that. What if they did it? Oh, man. All right, DC, call us. We got your ideas, bro. What they need to do is like on Hoopla, where you get 10 credits per month. You pick whatever 10 you want, and you don't get any more if you hit your limit until the next month.
I'll even be more lenient. DC, I don't care what titles you choose out of for 10 a month. If they're current titles, choose whatever ones you want. Like if you want me to get into, let's say there's a Starfire series launching, and you want to offer that, I'll be like, all right, because I might get interested in that. And then guess what? You might have me hooked. Like that's one way to play up a collector. If all of a sudden you're not going after the person that's buying every DC comic book, I get that. That person, they're the great white whale and they're, you know, you got them. You got that Moby Dick. But for the majority of people who can't afford to spend that amount of money, guess what? If you curate the bottom 10 comic books or the comic books you want to save or you want more people to jump on them, like you don't need people to jump on Batman. That's a life raft in itself. But there are, I'm sure there's some titles that you wish more people were reading. So guess what? You offer the first one of that.
Mm-hmm.
I would sign up for that. Would I like the Hoopla model better? Hell yeah. Because then I would be reading all the Batman, all the Super. I'd be reading the top 10 of DC. It'd be smart of DC to be like, you know what? We really have to like pump up, you know, a Phantom Stranger book that's coming out. Let's really balls to the wall this one.
Mm-hmm.
Or the new Justice League is slipping in sales. How about if we offer that this month?
I like it.
And could that get my ass back in the door to actually buying floppies every month or digitally? Maybe, possibly. You have a better shot with that than me going to the library, grabbing it, or waiting for a Comixology sale, grabbing a JLA, reading it, and being like, shoot, maybe I want to buy this. And then I go look at the new digital comic book, and it's a whole new creative team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just lost out. Like, you could have had me for the very next arc if I would have read the first one for free.
Mm-hmm.
But,
hey. Agreed.
But that would get me up to $7.99, $9.99. Because in my head, it's like, that's the price of 3 comic books. And yet they're giving me 10 comic books free that are brand new. That would be what would be going through my head.
Don't forget, too, Disney streaming service is coming. Probably mm-hmm. not until next year, but it's coming. And they need to get this ball rolling and rolling quick if they don't want to lose out to that.
Yeah, agreed. Because that will – any kid that watches Teen Titan Go, that kid also is watching probably 80% Disney-type products.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be one hell of a streaming service compared to just one Teen Titans Go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. Hot now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm hot because I'm in this hot fucking room.
Yeah, you are.
I need to go stick my head in the bidet.
You just get in there with the dog and have it squirt your faces.
Since DC's listening to all our ideas, DC, Nick and I will do your cooking show for you.
DC, we'll do your cooking show and a talking head show.
Absolutely.
Because you know why? DC's number one in our books.
You goddamn right.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because they're paying us at that point. Aftershock, you know, you need a talking head show on YouTube Red. You know why? Martin, tell them.
Because we love Aftershock, they're number one.
Yes, absolutely. You know why? Because they're paying us to do this YouTube Red show.
Oh, I got to tell you a story about that. That may or may not happen.
Ooh, nice.
All right, we'll get to that later. That's a secret. Nobody heard that. Cut this off the podcast.
All right.
So, yeah.
Dan Didio, call us.
We are much less annoying than the DC All Access people, I promise.
Yes. For sure. And we actually know comics, which is shocking.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I was watching a Dan Didio interview the other day.
But you know what? Honestly.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Like, we don't read – like, name a comic book publisher that we absolutely do not read.
Boundless.
I'll go with Boundless, Aspen. Like, we are not up on those universes whatsoever.
I read some Aspen. I read The New Fathom. Ron Mars wrote it.
Oh, okay. One title out of
I read Awaken the Skies number 0.
Okay. two titles out of how many? My point is, how long do you think it would take for us who are voracious readers to get completely engrossed in that comic book universe and then, i.e., become pretty much an expert?
Oh, sure.
It wouldn't take long because you're not talking about decades worth of material like Marvel DC.
Sure.
So it's just like, that's, if you're committed, like if you're doing a DC All Access show, wouldn't you just be living DC Comics? You'd be reading up on all that shit. That's what's amazing to me. It's like, no, you're just sort of talking heads. Oh my God. Like you should just be doing a cooking show dressed up as Green Lantern. Go ahead.
Oh, Lordy. Lordy, Lordy. Mm-hmm. I just had a threaten to block Paul in our Discord chat.
Aren't we recording a podcast right now? I don't even think our Discord chat's even going on right now.
Well, look, we're recording on Discord.
Listen, hey, doing two things at once. Let's focus over here.
Dude, I am so fucking focused right now.
All right.
So fucking focused.
Do you need something to focus your energy on? Because I have something.
Why don't you tell me?
Or do you have something else you want to say?
Oh, no.
Should I just interrupt you and say, hey, Martin Ferretti, this is a podcast within a podcast. This is Nerdy Legion Q&A. Martin Ferretti, are you ready? I have 11 questions.
Oh, my God,
lay back in the summer hammock because are you ready for these questions? Is your mind clear? Have you put down the Discord chat? Because this is the podcast within a podcast.
Hang on. Let me refresh my face in this bidet. All right, go on.
Let me and the dog get a drink from the bidet right now. Okay. And you know what this is called? This is our half quiz.
Ooh.
That is because the year is half over. So some questions could involve what has previously gone on the first half of the year. Some is speculation on the second half of the year. Martin Freddy, are you ready?
I was born this way.
Okay. What is your favorite thing you read so far this year?
Cul-de-sac.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. Okay.
Cul-de-sac. Fantastic. You can't get it, but you'll be able to get it soon.
Yeah, which is exciting. Yeah. So people can look forward to that.
Cul-de-sac. Fantastic.
Okay. Going along the same lines, what are you looking forward to reading for the second half of the year? Is there a title coming out, or are you going to make a prediction that such and such title is going to ramp it up so you're going to be prepped for it?
So in terms of new stuff or old stuff?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I left it open-ended.
So Friday, my work schedule will come down again. So Friday, I'm going to start reading The Invisibles, which was recommended by a certain Mr. Nick Wetmore.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start that Friday. In terms of new books coming out, what I'm most excited about is the Brian Michael Bendis Superman, because the Man of Steel thing that he's doing right now, I hated it to begin with, and now I absolutely love it. I think it's brilliant. So I'm looking forward to that when it happens. Yes.
Can I give you a soft tangent on this?
Yeah.
Every time I hear all you jokers in Discord or on Twitter praising Bendis love, I keep waiting to see the hashtag impractical joker on Nick. Because, oh my God, there were so much piles of poo served up on plates to me, and I just had to eat it for months and months and months. And now, all of a sudden, he's writing a decent Superman book. Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not anyone. But hence why I keep thinking you guys are going to be pulling my leg and like, are you serious? Come on. It's Bendis, for God's sakes. But anywho. Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
Next question. Are you ready?
Oh, and.
Yes.
And I hope that we get another Wildstorm announcement.
Ooh.
Because
do you know anything?
I don't know anything.
Oh,
but okay. The Wildstorm is at issue 14 now, so it's only got like 10 issues left.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to continue in that world, so I hope something is announced soon. That's it. Continue. Oh, and I want the announcement for the Outsiders book.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So okay. Brian Edward Hill is on Detective Comics now. Black Lightning mm-hmm. is in it. They reference Markovia, so I'm sure Geostorm and Terra are going to show up. I just wanted to say, hey, we're doing Batman and the Outsiders. And I'm going to be like, all right, fuck your streaming service, but take all my money on this book.
Is that what you – would that be your unofficial pick for what's going to be announced at San Diego Comic-Con?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Okay. I did not expect to hear Wildstorm. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
Okay. If you could only eat one type of cuisine for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Explain cuisine, like a range of dishes, a particular type of dish.
I am talking Thai food, Mexican food, Italian, that type of thing.
That's tough. It would be a toss-up between Japanese and Thai. I don't know which I would pick.
Pick one.
I'm gonna go towards Thai because they have more spices and I like spicy
Ooh.
Stuff.
Ooh, I like it. Yes. Okay. Okay. Now this one you might have to think a little bit about.
Okay.
But we're going back to the first half of the year.
Yes.
In the last 6 months, who is a good Twitter follow?
Ooh.
Meaning you could choose people that already exist on your Twitter. You could choose the real Donald Trump. I don't care. Or you could choose, you say you have a few new followers off from CTT, and maybe one of them is throwing out great stuff right now.
Wow. That
like
is
I said,
hard.
Think about it. Yeah, think about it. Give it a little.
That's hard. If I had to pick a creator, that's tough because it depends what you look for in tweets.
Well, I'm just looking for two recommendations. Maybe a creator or a company, and then maybe a fan or, you know, some, you know, a podcaster, that type of thing.
Okay. If I had to pick creators, I always really enjoy reading Phil Hester's tweets because somehow or other he manages to leave out 99% of politics in his tweets. Mm. The majority of them are comic book related, industry related. He tweets a lot about art that he acquires. And so it's nice to see a creator that's been in the industry for such a long time, still has such a passion for the industry, and be such a big comic book fan. So definitely Phil Hester. Oh, man. I've been really digging Ron Salas's tweeter lately. I know I tagged you in one a couple days ago, you and Rob, because he did a gorgeous Starman.
Yeah, that was pretty.
So I've been digging that. Same with, like, Bill Sienkiewicz. He's always putting up paintings that he does. Lately there's been a lot of people that like pass away. He always has a painting on them and, they're gorgeous to look at. So that's really nice. In terms of outside of that, oh man, I don't know. I mean, I always love reading Mike's tweets, at Mike Myers Brunch because, you know, he's so passionate about comics, right? And, it's nice to see. You know what I mean?
Andy has good frequency too.
Yeah, great frequency. So definitely him. Outside of that, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. We'll just go with that.
Okay. Sometimes I like this day in comics.
Oh yeah. How could I forget that? That's a great one.
Yeah. As well as I also like a lot of people like Rob Krieger or Ronnie Barron. I enjoy their tweets for, especially at night, like comic books I'm reading tonight, comic books I read today, that type.
Yep.
Like I like
late
those
night
hashtags.
Comic reads. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like those hashtags. Those are fun, just to see into like what people are reading.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I will agree.
Okay. One quick question: what is the next addition to your recording studio? Since that just happened in the last 6 months, I thought I would ask a question about it.
The next addition, in terms of equipment or aesthetics?
Whatever is the next thing you're going to put in that studio. And don't say a fan just because you're hot as hell.
Oh, I have a fan in here.
I'm talking, are you hanging art on the wall? Are you buying a new microphone screen? That either or is fine.
Okay. I mean, I've got quite a few. I think I'm going to get one of these like voice sound effect things.
Nice.
Mostly
with the duck quack.
Yeah, the duck quack, or you can do like the echoes, or like you know, whatever.
So we can sound like we're doing like monster truck shows.
Yeah, there you go.
I like it.
There you go. I want to get that.
Any way we could be like FM DJ, the more FM radio DJ, I'm all for.
I want to get that purely for this podcast, for fun. I don't know how well doing like, you know, sound effects and voice modulation stuff on the other stuff that I do would work. But I think with the amount of fun that we have here, I think it would work good.
I think if you find – okay, this is just – this is the first time I'm hearing of this, so this is off the top of my head. You don't have to use it. It's off the cuff. But when you go from your first topic into now it's a new, you know, the segment that I've been looking forward to doing all week, top of the pile, you know, that type of thing.
Yep.
Top of the stack. I would, if I heard you doing a robot voice, sound, that would be freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Top of the stack.
I do that with Comic Predictor. I keep forgetting to do it now, but in post, what I'll do is I'll highlight when I see Comic Predictor and up the volume and do like a loud echo. So it's like Comic Predictor, whatever.
See, I want more of that.
Yeah. I want to do more of that stuff.
But it is always welcome here on the summer hammock. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you've been podcasting as long as I have, I hate doing the same shit over and over. You know what I mean? That's why I enjoy doing the show with you, because I never know what we're going to do.
And you need like a quiz tonight?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's why on like CTT, I always do like every day is a different kind of episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten into like, I've gotten into a schedule groove where like certain days I'll do certain types of things, but, those things repeat like once a week or every 2 weeks, right? Not every day. Which like if it was a weekly podcast, then I guess it wouldn't make a difference. But since I do every day, like I don't want to do the same thing every day. You know what I mean? So yeah, I want to do that. So I want to get this voice modulator thing. I want to get like a soundboard and get all that hooked up. I've got to get a second monitor in here, for when I do that. So I can control that stuff via software on the second monitor. I really want to do like Twitch, stuff and maybe do like, post them on YouTube afterwards. I don't know yet. Cause, you know, like I've told you before, one of my inspirations for my other show was the Brian Lunduk show, and he does tech, but it's basically a solo show. And I get some ideas and adapt them to a comic book format from his show. And he does that. The one thing he does that I never want to do is, he changed his model where, now he only posts like short clips on YouTube. If you want to get the full videos, you have to get on his Patreon. I would never want to do that. But I don't know.
I still like the kind of funny, paywall version. Yeah. I think it makes sense.
Yeah. That one works pretty good.
Yeah.
But
give me some aesthetic. What's the next aesthetic type item that's going in there? Whether it's an old comic or are you buying a brand new comic knowing I'm going to put this right behind me because it's a dope ass comic.
I got to go through, a couple of boxes that are in my garage of books that I bought that are still in the box. Like the first Talia that I bought, I haven't even taken it out of the box. It's still in there. I want to frame some of those things. I got some art from, Will Playton, the artist on Cul-de-sac, when they shipped me those books. So I want to get some of those up on the wall.
Color be jealous.
Did you see those? I think I posted pictures of them on Twitter.
Yes, you did. And I told you I fell in love with three of them.
Yeah, they were freaking awesome. God. He's got some like Universal monsters in there. There's like a Frankenstein, a werewolf.
Oh, I know.
I want to put
up. I was looking for Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
That's my jam, dude.
So I want to get those up. I have some prints and stuff that I want to get up, and there's a couple pages that I'm pretty sure I told you I was getting, that I want to put up as well from,
nice.
Spencer and Locke, original cover art.
Yep.
So I want to get those up. And then to the left of me, there's some shelving units, which right now are full of boxes because the room that I'm in used to be, a storage area for stuff we don't use. And
a throughway.
Yes. So the right side of the room that I'm in still is that, but I've got it pretty well separated. Like the section that I'm in, I laid down tile and stuff. Most of the walls are covered in soundproof material. But I want to get rid of these crappy shelving units and put some nice shelves up. Maybe put like a little seating area in there, a plant or something, you know, to make it look a little homier. And then get some actual shelves up on the wall and put all my trades and stuff out here. Because my wife keeps asking that I remove all of my comics from the closet. Because we have a walk-in closet in our bedroom. And about half of it is full of boxes, long boxes of comics. So I need to get those out of there. And, of course, I need to get all the trades that are scattered around the home. So I would like
you
to put all that stuff in here.
You can't just put those on your kitchen table.
I mean, I can, but she does not appreciate it. Yeah, she does not appreciate it. So that's yeah. That's the thing.
I like it.
Yeah. I think that's about it, though.
Okay.
I don't want to busy it too much in here. You know what I mean?
I totally understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel claustrophobic.
No.
Yeah.
And it's not a big room either. You know, it's like, 7 foot wide, like 20 foot long. So it's not a huge space.
Mm-hmm. So that can get hot real quick.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you ready for the next one?
Of course.
Okay. What sport or game could you kick my ass in?
Foosball.
Oh. Do you keep your hands on the spinners or are you spinning them like a wild person?
No, I keep my hands on them.
Okay, that's proper.
Come on, you dude. Probably, I'm a professional.
You probably could kick my butt, yeah.
In terms of video games, we'll go with X-Men vs. Street Fighter, Children of the Atom.
I thought you were going to go Hearthstone.
Oh, because
you could
that's a
definitely,
given.
Yeah.
That's a given. I've had friends of ours friend me on there and play me, and they're like, nope, not playing you again.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Okay, going back to food. What's the best meal you've made so far this year?
Holy moly. Whew. Best in most satisfying to make or most satisfying to eat?
However you want to rock and roll with that.
Most satisfying to make usually is some type of sushi because it's almost meditative, you know? You have to take your time with the little bamboo mat and all that. So I always enjoy doing that. Cause it's a whole process, right? If you're doing raw fish, obviously you want like really high quality meat, cause you don't want to get, salmonella or what's the other one that kills you? Dang it. Anyways, you don't want to get any of that stuff.
Mad cow disease?
No, not mad cow disease. anyways, you don't want to get any of that stuff. Oh, botulism. That's the one.
Ah, yes.
You don't want that. Botulism is bad, kids. Just remember that. So I like the whole experience, of going shopping and getting the ingredients and making a roll and then partaking with my family, and enjoying the umami flavor. Oh God, I'm trying to think what's stuff that I really enjoyed making this year. I don't know, making that whole, trout in the oven was pretty damn awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a great communal experience, even if my family was grossed out by the fish head. but that was nice. I think, you know, the way that I approach cooking, I feel like this is going to be so cheesy, Nick. I feel like every meal that I make or almost every meal is special in some way, especially when I'm trying to account for an ingredient that I don't have. Like yesterday, for example, I made shrimp scampi and spaghetti. Very simple, but I had no butter. And so I had to figure out how to make this sauce that tasted like scampi sauce, but was not scampi sauce.
Wow.
And, it was pretty damn close, Nick.
Was it olive oil?
It was olive oil.
Yeah, man.
olive oil, pro tip. some Caesar dressing, mm-hmm. And then most of the regular stuff. I added a little bit of dill in there, some paprika and stuff, but mostly pretty standard scampi sauce stuff.
Now, this is Martin Ferretti's Q&A. One half year Q&A. But can I give you a pro tip regarding olive oil?
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually cheap olive oil. But, like, my wife looked up, like, what's the best olive oil for, you know, uber natural, not a lot of additives, like that, but still, like, a decent price point. And we found that we've been buying these, like, 4 and 5 bottles at a time because we go through it pretty quick. But it's Trader Joe's extra virgin California Estate olive oil. That's the key.
Interesting.
California Estate. And it has really good flavor to it. Like, it should be twice as expensive.
Interesting.
Yeah. Highly, highly recommend. And I told you about that Trader Joe beer back in the day.
Oh,
and
man, that was good.
Come on.
The hibiscus. Yeah, so. Woo-hoo-hoo. Mm-hmm. I've tried to go back. They don't have it. Every time I go back, they don't have any.
Yeah, it's seasonal.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, you'll see it in the fall or the spring.
Okay. I'll wait, yeah. And then I'll stock up.
Yeah. Next time I'm there, if I see it, I'll give you a holler.
Yeah, let me know. That's a good point about the olive oil, by the way. People are like, what's happening right now? Listen, just pay attention, okay? We're educating
you. It's Nerdy Legion.
We're educating you. You know, a lot of people cook with, like, vegetable oil. Garbage. Don't do that.
No. Or, like,
canola oil. Garbage. Don't do that.
The only thing I'll give you a pass on is if a recipe calls for sesame oil or peanut oil.
Mm.
Because those are different, like, heat temperatures, you know, before they start smoking.
Yeah.
So then I'll give you a pass on those. But other than that, like, don't use vegetable oil, canola oil. Ugh. No. Yeah.
Literal garbage, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you look up how they make that shit, you will never eat it in your life.
Yeah, don't be using Wesson. You think you could pour that over, like, a salad?
Nope.
No, use olive oil. You can use that as a salad, too.
Since you brought up sesame oil, by the way, I had to make a substitution the other day. Because my wife wanted to make some lentils and quinoa wraps. And it called for a tahini sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have tahini because, as you may or may not remember, my wife and I got a little hummused out.
Yes.
About a year or two ago. And we have not eaten hummus since because we ate hummus literally 5 times a day for like 3 weeks straight. So we didn't have hummus, or tahini. So you know what I substitute it with?
Peanut butter.
You are a fucking genius. Peanut butter and a little drizzle of sesame oil.
Yeah, that's perfect. And if the sesame oil is good.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yes. The only oils you should have in your kitchen are sesame oil if you like doing Thai food and that kind of stuff, or like Mediterranean, like Turkish type stuff, sesame oil. If you like to just cook, you need to have good olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And by good, I mean like you can put it on a spoon and eat it and be like, oh God, this tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you can get like pretty shitty olive oil.
Oh, for sure.
And then coconut oil. I've been converted to coconut oil. I put it in literally everything. Like, I put coconut oil in my coffee, Nick.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It is fantastic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, coconut oil. And, you know, if you're not a vegan or whatever, you can save some of that bacon fat and use that for cooking.
Well, yeah, of course.
Talk about umami. That's some fucking umami shit right there.
If you're frying up bacon, you better not be you better not be taking out a paper towel and wiping that bacon grease right off. No.
If you do, shame on you.
Take a piece of damn Wonder Bread and throw it on that bacon grease. Guess what? You just made a good cheese toasty with that.
Dude, whenever I would have leftover bacon fat, I would the next day and sometimes like a couple days after, because you know bacon has a lot of fat. I would make God, everyone calls them different things. We call them bullseyes. You know, the toast where you put the hole in the middle and you crack an egg inside it and you cook it.
Oh yeah,
dude, that in bacon fat, holy Jesus!
Mm-hmm.
It is heavenly.
Now you're talking.
Heavenly. But yeah, those are the oils you should always have. And good olive oil where you just literally open the bottle and chug it and have a good time. Yeah.
All right. Are you ready, Mr. Ferretti?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. The next question actually is another culinary question. And you, like I said, we're doing, it's the half year point. So that's really the inspiration for this Q&A. But this one, not so much. What food item have you consumed the most of in your lifetime?
Not including pizza.
Well, it's a food item.
And I mean, by pizza, I mean real New York style pizza, not the the pie that you Chicagoans call pizza.
Wow.
What did Aaron call it?
On that bandwagon.
What did Aaron call it?
I don't know. You think I pay attention to Bell?
God, I wish I
Until
remembered.
He does the Saved by the Aaron Bell podcast, I don't even listen to him anymore.
Oh man. So aside from pizza, dish or like ingredient?
Hey, I just said what food item? It could be parsnips, it could be parsley. I don't care.
Dish would probably be like chicken tikka masala. I've eaten that way too much. I've eaten like bibimbap way too much.
Both good choices.
Yeah. For years, literally years, Nick, at least once a week, I would make bulgogi.
Wow.
It's super easy to make. It's just rice, kimchi, and eggs.
Like,
you can't fuck that up.
Hey, okay. I have to throw this in, a little tangent. I was watching a Food Network show, and somebody made, and I've never seen this on a menu, and I'm like, why hasn't this ever been on a menu? They made kimchi fried rice.
Dude, it's on, if you go to a Korean restaurant, it's on the menu.
I've never seen it.
What?
Well, please, I'm living outside of Chicago. How many Korean restaurants do you think are within, like, 20 miles of me? Answer? Maybe one.
Dude,
maybe.
I'm dead center in the Bible Belt, and I have like three within 30 minutes.
Yeah, not me.
Wow.
Unless I go into the city, then I can find it.
Wow.
But that sounded so good to me.
Dude, I'm telling you. That's pretty much what bulgogi is. It's fried rice with kimchi mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do a sunny side up egg on top.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
It's freaking awesome because the egg yolk kind of masks some of the kimchi taste. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the sauce. That's what I like to do with pasta too, by the way.
That's some umami. That's an umami bomb. Right
there. Umami bomb for sure.
But, ooh, Lord.
That's the best way to do spaghetti. You make the spaghetti al dente and you put butter in it. So it's like shiny, you know, do butter and just a little bit of olive oil. Get it nice and shiny. Add some salt, a little bit of pepper. Then you serve it on the dish, you top it with Parmesan, and then you do a sunny side up egg on top. And you don't need sauce because between the egg yolk and the cheese, that's your sauce.
But that egg better be sunny side up.
Oh, it's gotta be.
Yeah. So many of those places mess that egg up and forget about it.
Look, my wife hates sunny side up eggs because she doesn't like the texture of egg yolk. Let me tell you, there's only one way to eat an egg and it's sunny side up.
Yeah. I'm going to have to bring her a bag of figs and then like four sunny side up eggs.
But I don't know if you heard, but apparently we ruined some people's love for figs after
of course
our
we did.
Discussion. I apologize to those people, but it's true.
I don't. I love it.
Hey, what, you know what? If you like, here's the thing, Nick. Who gives a shit what's in it? You know what I mean? If you like the way it tastes, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm not.
So yeah, and then I don't know, one thing that I wish I ate more of is parsnips.
Oh.
I love parsnip fries. By the way, made exactly the way that I told you to make the cauliflower. You just chop them up, toss them in olive oil and some sea salt. You can do, by the way, with carrots works the same exact way. Carrots you got to do them thinner. But oh my god, parsnip fries. Ooh-wee.
I wonder how parsnip rice would be. Let's be a rice.
Oh,
dip.
Interesting.
Like cauliflower rice.
Would it work well though?
I don't know if it would burn or not.
Cause you'd probably have to boil it, but I wonder if it would retain the texture if you boiled it after you rice it. You know what I mean? Cause you can't rice it after you cook it. You have to rice them raw.
Right.
I might have to try that.
You let me know.
I can't make parsnip fries very often, though. We only make them when the kids aren't here because the kids hate them because they're bitter. you know, kids. They don't have sophisticated taste buds. The fuck do they know? Oh, yeah. They eat fucking Cheerios.
I used to hate mushrooms and oysters, and then all of a sudden the light switch flipped, and guess what? They're my favorite things.
Man,
so
I wish I could eat oysters all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just fresh off the shell, drink up that salt water. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the kids hate oysters.
Yeah, of course.
So
sneak it in like Thanksgiving. Put it in the stuffing. Sneak it in.
My wife and I go to, what's the place called? The Black Rock. We go there like once a year and just get dozens of oysters. Yeah, the Black Rock.
You mean the new sponsor for the Nerdy Legion podcast? Black Rock Restaurant? That one?
Yes. The Black Rock. Hmm. Yep. Apparently my wife used to work there as a waitress when, like, right after high school, maybe. She worked there for a year or two.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah. But they have fantastic oysters.
Interesting.
Yep. I learned a little interesting tidbit, by the way. Bloomberg just did an article on the city that I live in because apparently it's becoming the Silicon Valley of the South.
And how is that? There's just a lot of tech companies are moving there?
Yeah.
Are you guys offering like a tax rebate or a freeze on taxes for so long or free utilities?
I don't know exactly what the deal is, but there's a lot of old money here in the South, of course. And a lot of these guys are investing in new companies because they have money laying around. And, you know, the hospital system here is huge. And so a lot of these startups that are popping up here are like medical startups or genetics labs and things like that. So it was a really interesting read. I hadn't realized it, but it makes sense based on the way that they've changed downtown Greenville.
Interesting.
They've completely redone that whole area. That used to be the place where like we went after we went bar hopping, you know, and like all that was on Main Street was like three or four bars. And that's Sheesh. It. And like mom and pop shops. And now there's like an opera house there. There's a theater. There's like, they've renovated a lot of the mom and pop shops. They've put a ton of restaurants in there. A lot of hotels came in. They renovated all the rundown buildings. They have a bunch of parking lots and stuff that they put out. It's crazy.
Four Starbucks.
No Starbucks.
Wow.
No Starbucks. Only mom and pop shops.
Holy cats.
Yeah,
I like it.
There's no chains on Main Street.
That's pretty neat. There's a town by us where actually I grew up during my high school years. And there's an edict that they will not allow any chains within the city limits. Like downtown, the historical area.
Yep.
Yeah. No like fast food chains, no nothing like that.
Yep.
Unless they were already there, they're not allowing anyone to come in.
Yep, that's how it is here. Matter of fact, there's a toy store downtown. That toy store has been there for like 80 years.
Wow.
There is a general store still in downtown that's been there for like 150 years.
Keeps it quaint.
Of course.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of money flowing in that area, let me tell you.
Oh, I'm sure.
Let me tell you.
But, well, good. I would like to see an influx of new tech down there. That'd be fun.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
All right. We're down to three questions. Martin, Freddie, are you ready for the final three?
Yes.
Okay. This one has nothing to do with the first half or second half of the year, but I'm dying to ask you. What's your favorite ancient civilization and why?
Oh, Lord.
I knew you'd like that. I was trying to think of a language question that I tripped on this one, and I'm like, I'm going to ask that one.
So from very early on, my favorite has always been Egyptian culture. Since I was like three or four, because I started reading very early. Since I was like three or four, I would read books on Egyptian culture. And it's always been fascinating to me. As I've gotten older, I've studied it a lot more, and I can compare it to like other civilizations and like how the way that the Egyptians did their culture, how it affected others. The religious aspects, for example, are really fascinating to me. So yes. And believe it or not, even though I've been reading it for so long, I don't know everything about Egyptian culture, but I would love to do like, spend a few months just doing like history
Yeah.
Of Egypt, yeah.
That's excellent. I love it.
Yep.
Okay. The next question. What is the weirdest news so far this year?
Well, the election results would technically be 2017.
So yeah, I guess you can't that include count. That. Cannot include that.
I mean, weirdest news. I mean, can you really name just one, Nick?
Well, one that hits the top of your head. How about that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know if I can pick one. There's every day there's a new bit of insanity emerging into the limelight. So I can't pick one.
All right, you'll abstain from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to abstain.
You don't want to offend anyone.
I don't care about or offending
you
people.
But... Or you don't want to leave anyone out.
That maybe.
Okay, now this one is the last question, but I'm dying to just get your perspective on it. What toy from your childhood do you miss the most, and if it and did it break, and if so, how? I gotta throw a couple curveballs. Come on.
Oh wow. I'm gonna assume it broke because I don't have any toys from my childhood.
You just remember one day just not playing with it anymore.
Yeah. Yep. When I was little, we moved around a lot, so I never, like, kept stuff for an extended period of time. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, man. What toy would I pick? I don't know. Maybe, like, a collection of toys. I had a large collection of Masters of the Universe action figures.
Oh. So,
that's probably what I would pick as something that I would miss the most and probably would want to have again.
By large collection, are you talking about play kits as well?
Oh, yeah.
Vehicles?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, yeah. I had a lot of Masters of the Universe stuff. And that's cool. I don't remember playing with it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a few months tops, but, yeah, I wouldn't mind having those again. And I've never looked on like eBay to see like how much those go for, you know?
Right.
The Transformers guys, there's like a whole culture of people that collect Transformer toys. You know what I mean?
And some
of those old Transformers are worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
I missed those too, by the way. I had a lot of those.
I never had either of those, but you're younger than me.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's true.
Like, I remember having, like, all my Star Wars figures all in, like, the Darth Vader carry case.
Mm-hmm.
I remember all those. But then any other of that size, like, I totally remember Micronauts. And I still to this day, I'm fascinated by Micronauts just because they were metal and they were real shiny and, like, they were just something that you just don't normally see. They're not the flat. Like Star Wars figure.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing, and like, that didn't come with a carry case. So what I would have to do is my mom had like these old, like plastic wig containers. So they're like egg shaped.
Mm.
And I remember keeping all my Migos as well as like my Micronauts all in various like containers. And for whatever reason, I remember that those just sort of left. Like, all those containers, just one day, they were just gone. It's like, no, but I want it back. But I do remember I was really big into setting up imaginary scenarios. And then as soon as my brother and I got those Mego, like, I got the Spider-Man car mm-hmm. with the net in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the Captain America car with the shield in front.
Nice.
As soon as we got those... All, and I think this is just like put into like dumb boys' heads. I do remember constantly, I mean, 100 times at a time, throwing those off the top of the staircase because the car's chasing the imaginary Green Goblin or whatever. But I think it was just more boys trying to see, can we break this shit?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually we did. So then my Spider-Man car would just be thrown into the garbage. But thanks for playing along, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm glad you brought back the questions.
I wanted to surprise you a little bit. I had them ruminating.
Fair enough. I think it's time to wrap up, Nick.
Sounds good, sir.
You have been listening to the sultry sounds of Nick Wetmore's voice. If you want to get in touch with us at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion@gmail.com is the email address. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoy your holiday. And if you're on vacation, stay safe and read some comic books.